I understand we will have the Blessed Sacrament here in the conference room, but not exposed, correct? Well, whether exposed or reserved, I want to have our Lord here. We covered the first part of what St. Ignatius calls the first principle and foundation. And just to refresh our memories, there were two basic truths that our faith tells us. Identify the purpose had first in God's creating us, and secondly, in creating everything else. Our own purpose here on earth is to know, love, and serve God. The purpose of every, and we go down the litany, every which, every who, every when, every how, everything is meant by God from all eternity as a channel of divine grace. I assure you, that is not a footnote to our faith. That is our faith lived out in practice. And that purpose is that he might use what we generically call creatures in order to enable us to reach our destiny. Then we classified four basic categories of creatures. Those that God wants us to use by enjoying them. Those that God wants us to use, if you please, by enduring them. Those that God wants us to use by removing them. And those that God wants us to use by sacrificing them. They're between removing and sacrificing. We distinguish those that are to be removed as those that experience tells us would be occasions of sin, and those that we sacrifice being those creatures that in themselves are neither sins nor occasions of sin, but that God would be more pleased. And the key is more if we surrender them. And that which we have to surrender may be our own long-standing, cherished ideas. Or options and opportunities for the future that we surrender. And we finally said, this is where morality is distinguished from spirituality. In the years of teaching theology, I've told my students, be sure to have labels for what is contained in your mind. Over the years, I majored in chemistry. In the chemical engineering building where I did my graduate studies in Detroit, where I am now. Suppose there was a whole shelf of colorless liquids, but without labels. You better know what that colorless liquid is, whether it is colorless water, or colorless nitric acid, or colorless sulfuric acid, or colorless hydrogen chloride, or colorless sodium hydroxide. We can be so discriminating and so careful. You ladies who cook. Two white powders. You better make sure which is sodium bicarbonate, which is, salt, which is sugar, right? In the material world, we can be so acute. Spiritually, we can be so blasé. Now, we are now drawing on the conclusions. There are four basic conclusions. First, the text of St. Ignatius. First conclusion, therefore, we must make use of them, that's the creatures, insofar as they help us in the attainment of our end, and we must rid ourselves of them insofar as they prove a hindrance to us. First conclusion. Secondly, therefore, we must make ourselves indifferent. And I've underlined the subject of that sentence. We, no one else would do it for us. We must make ourselves indifferent to all created things insofar as we are allowed free choice and are not any prohibition. We must become internally free. Listen, every human being, in greater or less measure, every human being, in greater or less measure, is enslaved by his internal desires and fears. Period. If you wish, exclamation mark. Third conclusion. Consequently, as far as we are concerned, we should not prefer health to sickness, riches to poverty, honor to dishonor, a long life to a short life, and the same holds for all other things. Fourth conclusion. Our one desire and choice should be, what is more conducive to the end for which we are created? Having quoted Ignatius, now we go back over each of those four conclusions. St. Ignatius was nothing if not specific. Military man before he was converted, and always definite. You're at war. Let's pray that we won't be at war. But when you're at war, you don't just say to yourself or the general, telling his forces, we've got to beat the enemy. What do you mean we've got to beat the enemy? You've got to know where their strength is, where your weakness is. Strategy is of the essence of spirituality. You must be strategic. And if that's a military term, so be it. Didn't our Lord tell us? You're to be as simple as doves, as no matter how you translate the Greek. Shrewd. Strategic. I don't hesitate saying as cunning as a serpent. And as Christ also told us, the children of this world are much more strategic, much more cunning than the children of light. What is the title of your Vancouver paper? Is Globe something? Globe?
Globe and Mail.
Globe and?
Toronto Globe and Mail.
Globe? Toronto?
Mail.
Okay. Just so I know what culture I'm living, I spent about 20 minutes going through your... Is that your largest circulating paper? Oh, how carefully, as the verb goes now, how carefully nuanced what they say. You can tell their philosophy after 5 minutes where they're going. And we can be oh so naive. Now, our four conclusions. Is that outside or inside? I presume it's a moving vehicle, is it? It's moving, then the noise will move too, so. They might be shoveling there, pushing the snow though. Please? Is it all right? And the machine, we'll just, that'll be part of the conference. I have each of these four conclusions in the form of an imperative of the verb. Here, discriminates. Discriminates. The first conclusion we said, regarding the purpose of everything that enters our lives, is to discriminate among these creatures, which one helps, which one hinders. And the married man cannot say, but she's nice. Well, Jim, I'm sure she's nice, but you're a married man. She's not your wife. No, but she's still nice. As you mentioned last night, we've got to make an inventory of the creatures in our lives. And that inventory is not just of the things outside of us physically, but the creatures inside of us. We agreed last night that though we all have desires, we don't always have good desires. Is that agreed? You can't say, but it's my desire. Now, the abortionist women, choice. Dear ladies, would you please discriminate? And here we've got to be very honest in investigating to find out among the things in my life, you've got yours and I sure have mine, that we must constantly discriminate to find out which ones lead us to God, which ones would lead us away from God, which ones will detract us from the service of God. You know, I've got about a dozen. I just ran out of space on this page. Persons. Just because a person is nice doesn't mean that I, well, choose that person for my, say, bosom companion. Places. Conversation. Thoughts. Desires. Here's the law of the spiritual life. It comes in stages. And the first step is sensations. We are not disembodied spirits. We are not angels. We have a body. Everything in our lives begins with our sensations, our sense experience. What we see, what we hear, what we taste, what we touch. First, sensations. We must discriminate about the sensations in our lives. Step number two. Every sensation tends to become a thought. If we had no sense experience, we would have no thoughts. Did you know that? Nowhere. We are the mercy of our sense experience. Now, the first conditions for observing this law of discrimination is what creatures in my life will I look at. Notice, not everything we see do we look at. Does that make sense? To look is to want to see. Not everything in our lives are we to listen to. What's the difference between listening and hearing? When I listen, I want to hear. And I could be speaking in New York City or Vancouver. Now I know British Columbia. Am I correct? The average American, the last figures I saw, average, 32 hours a week of television. My friends, we better discriminate. Desires. If the first law is everything begins with sensations, every sensation tends to become a thought. There's no way I can control my thoughts unless I discriminate among my sensations. Next step. Every thought tends to become a desire. There is no way, known to God or man, no way, that we can control our desires unless we control our thoughts. Must be 20 years ago that I read a very fine book. I don't believe the man was even a Christian, by the name of Weaver, Chicago University publication, I remember. I refer to that book how many times? Title of the book, Thoughts Have Consequences. Thanks. Thoughts have consequences. You just don't throw all kinds of things into the mind without things happening. Every sensation tends to become a thought. Every thought tends to become a desire. Every desire tends to become an action. If you want to control your actions, you simply must discriminate among your desires. A good homemade definition of an uncontrolled desire is a desire that becomes an action. Next set in the law, every action tends to become a habit. There is no way, but no way, you can cultivate a good habit, otherwise known as virtue. That's what a virtue is, in case you haven't heard. Virtues are good habits. So how do you cultivate good habits? By controlling your actions. You do something, whatever it is. Once, there was a built-in tendency to do it a second time. Once you've done it 20 times, without even a second thought. You want to do it a 21st time. And after, say, you have been smoking. Do you have any kind of a federal law prohibiting smoking? I don't smoke, so it doesn't bother me. But there's nothing so trivial, or for that matter, so dangerous, that once we've performed an action often enough, it becomes a strong inner drive, otherwise known as a habit. Every action tends to become a habit. They go on. Every habit tends to form the character. A good definition of a person's character is, well, that person's habitual way of acting. I live in a Jesuit community. I don't have to look at the person's face. All I have to see, we've got options for breakfast. The same person for years will always choose, say, cornflakes or bran. In other words, our actions tend to become habitual, and the habits that we have form our character. I have still one more step. And our character determines our destiny. You're still on part one, on discriminate.